the last day of the month. And I don't know about you, but when August is done, I almost think summer's done, even though it's not officially done till the 21st of September. But I always look at September as the start of fall. And so as we look at the last of the month, we end some things and we start new things. And if you've paid attention to the gospel readings, we now have finished with Matthew, and we're starting in the Gospel of Luke. And after we move into Luke's world, we see that Luke's world really gives the good news of Jesus Christ that's proclaimed in today's gospel. Today we hear Jesus himself proclaiming the coming of gladness, but not to the rich and the famous, not to those who expected to be saved, but to the captives, the poor, the blind. In his good news, Jesus offers healing and freedom. And it's all good news, right? But then we hear in a few sentences, Jesus becomes the cornerstone that the builders rejected, and the crowd turns on him. And within a few passages, the people go from amazement and wonder to who is this, gives way to anger and violence, and even the threat of death. Their anger and disbelief hinges on the remark that starts with, "Is this not Joseph's son? Don't we know who this is and where he came from? How can he be the Messiah? He is a lowly carpenter's son." Isn't that a temptation that we often fall into? So often we fail to see God's unfolding grace in front of our very eyes. We forget to look at every interaction and every person with two eyes, one on this world and one in the next. So often when I talk to people who said that they feel distant from God, in addition to resuming a prayer life, which was almost always the first thing that goes, I ask them to look at everything out there as a potential sign that God's talking to you through another person, through another event. We quickly judge people who are speaking to us, and we fail to see that Holy Spirit speaking through a person unless we have God right with us. We come often and think of our surroundings and fail to accept that God worked equally in the lives of that widow of Zarephath or Naaman the Syrian. And why the Jewish people were so mad, those were foreigners. And for someone to say that God works through foreigners and not through his chosen people is what incited them. The message that we bring, as you heard St. Paul profess, is Jesus crucified. Jesus brings a message of salvation in suffering and strength in the weakness of humility. Our society has judged the weak and the suffering as just unfortunate souls who really don't have the same value as us lucky ones. Accepting that God can act in all people, we can then understand what Paul says, that my proclamation was not with persuasive words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of spirit and power, so that your faith may not rest on human wisdom, but on the power of God. Our faith is a gift carried by the power of God. We don't have to reason it out. We just need to feel it. And we need to remain hungry in it. And that gift is given by the Holy Spirit as the wind blows, settling on the well-off and the marginalized as well. See your faith as the power of God all around you at every moment. See every encounter with another with that one divine eye and that one human eye. Look for God's power in each other. Let no interaction or experience go without seeing God in it. In these next weekday masses, we will continue to walk through the Gospel of Luke. Keep your eyes and your heart open to the surprising signs that we hear. The messengers you need will come to you. Messengers will sometimes come in beautifully wrapped packages, and sometimes they'll be laying on the side of the road.